This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Inauguration Day celebrations moving from the U.S. Capitol to Capital One Arena, where crowds of supporters have gathered for the indoor inaugural parade due to the cold. President Trump, Vice President Vance, and their families arriving to cheers. Earlier, President Trump vowing to usher in a new golden era, reverse policies of the Biden administration, and issue pardons for January 6 defendants.
The planned commutations for those who attacked police goes well beyond what many of his allies anticipated he would extend to the January 6 defendants, and paves the way for potentially hundreds of supporters, some sentenced to years behind bars for vicious assaults on police, to be released in the coming days.
ABC's Karen Travers. Before leaving office, President Biden issued preemptive pardons for people Trump signaled out for possible prosecution, including members of the House January 6 investigation and former Trump Joint Chiefs Chair General Mark Milley. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Police are asking the public for more information after a person was found shot early Sunday morning on La Crosse's north side. The shooting victim was taken to the hospital after being found around 2:33 a.m. Sunday on the 1800 block of George Street. Police didn't release names or the condition of the shooting victim, but said that the shooting happened after an argument between the people involved. Police said that the shooting is an isolated incident. Anyone with tips can contact La Crosse Police. The office of a Wisconsin congressman was set on fire over the weekend. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
A 19-year-old Menasha man was arrested for setting fire to the office space of U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman in a Fond du Lac strip mall early Sunday morning. Police arrested the man soon after the fire was extinguished. He admitted to starting the blaze in protest of the TikTok ban that went into effect this weekend.
Grothman was among the congressional majority that voted to ban TikTok last year.
President Donald Trump is promising tariffs on imported products from overseas, as well as from our neighbors to the north and south. How would a tariff on imported oil from Canada affect gas prices in the Midwest? Here's Patrick DeHaan, petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy.
Definitely the Midwest and Rockies. These are the two regions of the country that have long had stable access and pipelines that flow directly down from Canada. And that's why the Great Lakes and Rockies would be much more affected by this tariff potentially than anyone else.
DeHaan says that the increased cost of oil due to the tariffs and the added cost for refining it into fuel would be passed down to consumers here in the Midwest.
Never before have we seen basically the system that has worked, right? The status quo for decades could suddenly massively change overnight if Trump implements these massive tariffs. Having a tariff on Canadian oil, which is the primary oil we refine here in the Great Lakes, that would have a catastrophic impact on the type of oil that refineries here in our region are paying, and that's why it would be passed down to us.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and LacrosseEagle.com.
The national championship tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football's championship game is tonight in Atlanta. Ohio State against Notre Dame inside the Atlanta Falcons Mercedes-Benz Dome. It's the first time in 12 years the Fighting Irish have played in the championship. The Buckeyes were there in 2020. Notre Dame, 8.5-point underdogs. Kickoff on ESPN at 6:30. The Wisconsin Badgers say freshman defensive back Xavier Lucas signed a 2-year NIL agreement early last December to remain with the Badgers for another 2 more years. Lucas has since moved on to the Miami Hurricanes, has hired lawyers to fight the dispute. NBA, the Bucks beat the 76ers, 123-109. So how did the Bucks go from a 1-6 start to the season to now winning 4 in a row?
For us, you know, at times we were focused, at times we wasn't focused. But overall, we played a good game. It doesn't matter. We won the game, you know, now it's 4 in a row. Thank you, Mr. Dan. It doesn't matter. We won the game.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With high temperatures staying sub-zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills, where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 2 degrees below zero.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some communities considering getting rid of fluoride. What would this mean for you? Brought to you by Big Cavity. We'll kick it around tomorrow. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matinair on air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part. You can participate 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Just PS on the board. And super jazzed as hell, it's Monday. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, on this historic day. Harvey, welcome to the show, man.
I'm not in a good mood. Yeah, I can tell you that.
Come on. We're going to work on you, Harvey. Come on. You're not in a good mood. If we don't laugh, we're going to cry, Harvey. So break it down. Break it down with me, brother.
I can laugh. I can laugh all right.
Okay, good.
And I might not have been as utterly outraged as I would be, but there was a tweet that I saw maybe an hour ago or so, in which it was pretty clear that Elon Musk was so excited and so thrilled by events that he did a serious and very aggressive Nazi salute.
Twice.
Heil Hitler salute.
Twice. Yeah.
Two times right. in a row.
Yeah, Harvey, and I saw it on the Independent, just pointed it out to me, and he was very excited, and he slaps his chest. Hard,
yeah,
and straight right. up, like I mean, no, there's no right. equivocation. There was no doubt what that was. Even if you thought, "Wow, that's a little weird," he turns around to the crowd behind him, Harvey, and does it again. Elon Musk throwing out the Nazi salute, but you know, Tesla.
Yeah, we just found out today that it looks like Green Bay City police have an unmarked Tesla in their car ranks. So, yeah, right.
Great.
It's not enough we're giving him billions to go to Mars. We're giving him money out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, the home of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, yeah. Harvey, I got to tell you, man, and it's hard to really shock me these days. I'm a kind of a callous, traveled guy. But when I saw Musk do that, it was like a slap in the face, because it wasn't even close to being something else. And then he did it twice. It's like they're up there trying, like telling us, yeah, here it is. What are you going to do about it? That's kind of how I felt, Harvey. What was your take?
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine my take. But let me pass this along. A very old friend of mine who was a student of mine, must have been 40 years ago. Okay. An army veteran, kid who grew up here. Well, he's not a kid any longer, obviously. Grew up here in Green Bay, you know, attended Lutheran churches. And he sent me a note about the fact his mom passed away just in the last several days. And she was a child in Holland, in the Netherlands, under the Nazi occupation. And she never, ever forgot the darkness that prevailed. And he said that it just, when he saw what Musk did, he wanted to vomit.
It's disgusting. It's terrible. And it should be roundly rejected by anybody who sees that. And that's what really, apart from the act itself, it will be the reaction or lack thereof of the megas and the supporters of Elon Musk to what? Just give it a, oh, well, that's just how it is.
That's not what he was doing. He was just so excited. He just wanted to throw his arm out there.
So excited, he revealed himself is the way
yes.
I look at it.
Isn't okay. that a so lot of excited. That going around? A lot of that going yeah. around.
Yeah. I mean, I was. God. Yesterday I read in all the newspapers, it said today's speech was Trump was going to appeal to the concept of unity in America. The media bought right into it, And I thought, well, that'll be a good trick. So I went back to look at his American Carnage speech
yes.
of 2017, that inaugural address. And I can tell you, as bad as that American Carnage speech was, it wasn't as bad as the speech today at all. Okay. I mean, it had the same promises, empty. Well, he didn't promise the nightmares he's now promised, but he did promise jobs. He was going to make the border safe. Back then he promised new roads, new highways, new bridges, new airports, new tunnels, new railways. Well, where did that go? Okay.
There was infrastructure week every 2 weeks for 4 years, Harvey. It never happened.
The only infrastructure was pieces of a wall, right?
Yeah.
Pieces of a wall.
Like that Mexico was going to pay for that they never did.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. This time, the one promise watch he'll keep, he'll get Congress to approve the idea of changing Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America.
I mean.
Which, by the way, that was the funniest moment. That was close to it was in the top 10 funny moments in the speech.
Because people were laughing at him literally as he was talking about it. What's your thought on the shiny objectism of these kinds of things? Number one, should New Mexico be concerned? And number two, does it really matter? Like, is that something that, you know, certainly he didn't run on this. I'm going to change the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. It seems asinine. I mean, everyone else is going to go along. I mean, I don't even want to go down that road because it doesn't.
Okay,
I do want to know, because do you think it's out there just to distract us?
Of course it is. Absolutely is. Look, it's like a good example of culture wars at the international level. Okay. By the way, you said New Mexico a little while ago. Did he promise to change the name of New Mexico?
No, I'm throwing it out there though, man. I mean, everyone should be concerned. And New York, I don't know what's going to happen there, but yes, New Mexico specifically. That's all on me though.
Okay. Well, anyhow, I mean, it really was. It really was an absolutely abysmal speech. And I got notes, which we can.
Well,
refer
yeah,
to.
I mean, I want to get your sense, folks. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. This is our guest this hour, Harvey Kaye. He's a professor emeritus of democracy, the University of Wisconsin Green Bay. Democracy, the key word there, professor. What was the in a speech full of BS and blather, what was the most striking thing to you?
Well, right off the top, he struck me. That's all I can say. When he said, over the past 8 years, I have been tested and challenged more than any president in our 250-year history. And I've learned a lot along the way. The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one. 250 years. Now, wait a second. Just wait a second. I'll grant him a whole host of presidents who didn't get tested very much, okay? But Abraham Lincoln, I think, was tested far more than this yo-yo, okay, who's now become president. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously speaking. And then to add to it, I mean, you knew he was going to do something like it, but it nevertheless still just was, I was saved by God to make America great again.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, Abraham Lincoln, you know, he didn't get tested at all, right? Not at all.
Not at all, not at all.
And John Wilkes Booth gave him the final shot, you might say.
a little lack of self-awareness. And of the testing that he went through was all of his own accord. It was based on his actions as a private citizen, based on his actions as a candidate, based on his actions as a president, and based on his actions as a former president with regards to the documents case. I mean, these are issues right. and trials and tribulations that Donald Trump brought upon himself. And And as we look back on it now, Harvey, our institutions, to my opinion, have wholly failed us, because now here he is again.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how many times he mentioned, I love this line, we will not forget our Constitution and we will not forget our God. At the, you know, and there they were sitting in the rotunda. And surely, I mean, a lot of us must hold on to those images of those truly fiercest MAGA folks walking through the rotunda carrying the American flag with the pointed tops, with, you know, carrying nooses, whatever else they had in tow. I mean, unbelievable how the likes of the former presidents, how the likes of Jeffries and others could sit there. I mean, I have to say this. I'm not a big fan of the Democrats, okay, in the last 50 years. But I will say they have far more patience. And they must have been on some kind of downer. They must have been on something to pacify them, because you couldn't sit there and not laugh at least, right? Laugh at least.
My understanding, Hillary Clinton may have laughed a little bit when Trump was talking about the Gulf of America. What the guest list, Harvey, the billionaires. Oh, yeah. I mean, the billionaires. It's us v. them, man. You know, is this the most basic breakdown of what the problems that we have? It's the rich versus everybody else.
Here's something. This is interesting, right? You can imagine the guy, you know, the military chorus and band, those kinds of folks, they can't dissent, right?
Right.
They're under orders. These are billionaires sitting there. Now, I'll grant Elon Musk is clearly salivating. I mean, he must have had an orgasm when Trump said they were going to take us to Mars.
Yeah. Right? Well, based on the number of kids, that happens quite a bit.
And what was the guy?
I've
at
heard
the
most
of
them
Meta
are conceived and via IVF.
What's the name of the guy who heads Meta and Facebook?
Zuckerberg.
Now, Zuckerberg, he's in debt to Trump, because didn't Trump appoint Zuckerberg's father to be the ambassador to France, is it? If I got the right billionaire?
Okay, not clear.
He had been in prison for utterly outrageous acts in that he committed in New Jersey. And he came out, maybe was pardoned by Trump, who knows? And I think he got that appointment. I could be wrong, but I think that was the case. But the others, I don't understand why Bezos would bow to the likes of Trump. That I know one can come up with a whole concocted explanation, but even to this day, the guy is so rich, right? Surely he could say, to hell with this, well, you know?
Harvey, come on, man. I'm not rich, and I wouldn't bow to any of those cats, dude.
No, exactly. I mean, sorry. You can see I'm just still flabbergasted what I saw today, okay? I mean, and by the way, I don't want to forget a couple of historical points here. So I had a text from the former director of the FDR Library, a very prominent figure, was a journalist and historian. And he said to me, he believes, and this is one where I'm going to offer a real critique of FDR. When FDR was president, he made three terrible mistakes. Well, two in particular. Okay. The third one we don't
Harvey,
know. To
Harvey, hang on, hang on. What? We got to go to a break. And I want to hear the three terrible mistakes of FDR, because we like to keep the history going here. We're fans of FDR, but we can always build upon the lessons learned. And we're learning today from Professor Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay. Hold those thoughts. Come back with us. We'll take some of your calls as well. 855-752-4842.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New presidents often use day one executive orders to move their policy agendas forward. What are the different kinds of presidential orders? What are their limitations? And why do presidents use them? Since John F. Kennedy, presidents have averaged 269 executive orders over their terms. Since 1907, each order receives a number and all are cataloged at the National Archives. There are three different kinds of orders, according to Dr. Bert Rockman of Purdue University. Executive orders are written orders, usually on more weighty issues such as national emergencies or setting uniform policy for government action. Written presidential memoranda authorize or freeze projects, share official positions with Congress, outline treaties in international affairs, and other policy matters. Memoranda are not required to be published or public. A third type are proclamations, such as a proclamation celebrating Juneteenth. Pardons and clemency are not executive orders, but rather a separate power granted by the Constitution. Gridlock resulting from the failure of Congress to compromise on legislation often stimulates presidents to use more executive orders as presidents struggle to move their policies forward. But executive orders can also be blocked by Congress or court review, as President Trump found out in his first term Muslim ban. Find more in the history of presidential orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, talking about the inauguration actions today, putting it in a historical context. And just real quick, Harvey, one of the texters chimed in. It was Kurt Kushner's dad that is now the ambassador to France. Remember Kushner, the son-in-law, who got a couple of billion dollars from the Saudi investment fund after they hacksawed a Washington Post journalist. But please, I digress. We're talking about Harvey. Hang on. I'm not hearing Harvey with us.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to be corrected. Thank you.
Yes.
That's great. Happy to be corrected. And I was about to tell you in the first segment the mistakes that FDR made. One was the mistake that he failed to get Congress to lift the quotas on refugees. So too many Jews did not make it to the United States and refuge. The second one was he bowed to the wishes of the Army brass and Navy brass and did not desegregate the military when they instituted the draft, though they did recruit and African-Americans served proudly in the ranks of the U.S. military in World War II. But the really tragic one of the worst cases of civil liberties, trod upon, was the executive order that commanded Japanese Americans living on the West Coast to report to internment centers, and then they were transported to internment camps in the American interior. And what Trump has done, if he signed it today, the executive order, is reminiscent of that in this executive order that's going to round up, okay, Mexican Americans who are here in this country, perhaps many of them undocumented. But the big thing is, and I fear this, I was saying to Justin, I really do fear the degree to which the folks who are assigned the job, the ICE agents, will end up rounding up many a Latino American who is a resident alien with documents and or possibly a U.S. citizens. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw what happened when people were boarding planes and merely names made them turn up on anti-terrorism lists.
Yeah.
Well, if you're rounding up millions of people, supposedly, you can imagine what's going to be pulled in that kind of, what do they call those, dragnets? What's going to be pulled in those terms? I mean, a horrific kind of activity.
That's an excellent point, Harvey. And you know, history has judged FDR and this country for those actions of the Japanese internment camps. Do you make a distinction between those folks who are here without legal documentation versus the Japanese living in California and the West Coast back in World War II?
Yes, there's not a direct parallel, but it's reminiscent. And this is what I received as a message from the former director of the FDR Library, that kind of idea. Let me also add another historical thing, which people may not realize. He mentioned in his speech the Alien Act of 1798. Okay. Now, the Alien Act empowered, you know, American agents to round up French and other folks who might be viewed as sympathetic to the French Revolution, okay, and somehow a threat to American security. Well, it wasn't just the Alien Act. It was the Alien and Sedition Acts, okay? This was under John Adams. And the Sedition Act, he's going to institute one. Let's see if he steps to the next. This is the Sedition Act, which made it illegal to criticize president and the federal and his government, and by the way, was also instituted during World War One by the Wilson administration to silence dissent, and you know.
But Harvey, and those are great points with regards to the 1798 Aliens Enemies Act. Don't we need to be in some sort of declared war or actual invasion, you know, perpetrated by a specific country against us? I mean, there's qualifications to engaging, to my understanding of the reading, to claiming these acts. Of course, everything he does is going to bring
lawsuits.
We were
not in a state of war in 1798.
Right.
We were not in a state of war, okay? It's that the Federalists were pro-British in their war with France, and the Jeffersonian Democratic Republicans, as they were called, were generally sympathetic to the French because had overthrown a monarchy. Now this was sometime after the actual, you know, the worst case scenarios of beheadings, etc., in the French Revolution. But it was the case that this was a leftover element of just that. Okay.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, any action taken by Trump, especially when engaging in the Alien Enemies Act from 1790, they're going to draw all sorts of scrutiny, lawsuits, and so on and so forth. How do you think that's going? What's the resistance going to be? Will it be effective? Will it delay these things? How do you see that playing out, at least in the short run?
Yes, there will definitely be lawsuits. I mean, within moments of the inauguration, there was a lawsuit taken by a group against Doge. How do they pronounce that?
Doge, yeah.
Doge, okay, because they're pursuing actions in private, in secret, which would be subject to, in Wisconsin we used to have that, the open meetings law,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And so they're saying this is unconstitutional. Well, by the way, it's essentially unconstitutional, I'm sure, because they've created a government agency in their minds that doesn't exist in reality. But he said he's gonna make that a reality next.
Yep.
And by the way, he basically still left open the door to a military occupation of the Panama Canal. Okay, I mean it's outrageous. I mean, truly outrageous that this, by the way, I mean, another one is just flashing through my brain right now.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Come back with us. We're going to continue the conversation. Also got some audio of Trump complimenting Elon Musk for his putting the rocket and having the rocket land and then going out and campaigning for him in Pennsylvania. And oh yeah, he really knows a lot about those voting machines and all those computers. Wondering what that's all about. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Amtrak's Borealis line is set to receive more funding from the federal government. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
It's almost $39 million coming from the Department of Transportation aimed at enhancing commuter rail options between Chicago and Minneapolis. The federal grant will support the popular route that began operations last May. There are stops in several Wisconsin communities, including Milwaukee, The Dells, and La Crosse. The service has already attracted over 100,000 riders since it started.
Senator Tammy Baldwin says that the investment will provide more travel opportunities for people in Wisconsin. A Minnesota man was arrested on Friday after driving on railroad tracks. The Buffalo County Sheriff's Office said that they were called about a stalled car on the tracks on Highway 25 in Nelson. There, a vehicle was found stuck with one person inside. A train narrowly missed hitting the vehicle by less than 2 feet. According to the Sheriff's Office, the driver, a man from Wabasha, said he turned down the tracks thinking it was a road. He was arrested for OWI. Nobody was hurt in the incident. We're in a cold snap through tomorrow night with dangerous wind chills down to around negative 30 degrees expected. With some safety tips, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Frostbite can happen in as little as 20 minutes in today's conditions. Frostbite symptoms can include pain, numbness, swelling, blisters, and skin discoloration. It's most common on your fingers, toes, nose, and ears. And frostbite may lead to permanent, irreversible tissue damage. A way to prevent it is to limit your time outdoors and warm your body up often if you're exposed to freezing temperatures. And if you believe that you have frostbite, go inside or seek shelter from the cold. Then, call your healthcare provider or visit the emergency room immediately to reduce your risk of tissue damage. Frostbite symptoms appear in three stages that include feeling cold, sore, and painful, which is frost nip. Then, pins and needles, which is surface frostbite. And the last, numbness, indicates a deep frostbite.
The Cooley region will have an extreme cold warning in effect from midnight until 9 a.m. tomorrow. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The third installment of the 28 Days franchise, titled 28 Years Later, opens in June 2025. Sources say despite the new chapter's $75 million budget, part of the new film was shot on an iPhone 15. This would make 28 Years Later the most expensive film ever to use smartphone technology, at least for cinematic purposes. We've come a long way since movies used to use flip phones. Just a little over a year ago, in late 2023, Norman Lear was being praised by everyone in Hollywood after his death at 101 years old. But Sally Struthers, who played Gloria on All in the Family, says that she was not a huge fan of Lear. During a recent appearance on the Let's Talk About That podcast, the two-time Emmy winner says Lear told her she was only cast because she had blue eyes and a fat face like Carol O'Connor, who played her father, Archie Bunker, on the show. Words hurt, even with two Emmys and a big bank account. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With high temperatures staying sub-zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills, where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 2 degrees below zero.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da
bubba? Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCL, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome one of Wisconsin's very own, comedian Tom Clark. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and I discuss award season. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. That Creep Show 88 here. We've got just on the board, Harvey K. on the line. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. A couple of topics I also want to get to while we have a moment here. Folks, you know how we play the game here on the Dom Salvi Show. The last segment of the game of the day, we want to hear something good. Jess wants to hear something good, and I like to appease Jess. So we want to hear something good from you. I got something in mind. If you got something to say, something good, something, a positive note to end the show on, hit us up on the text or the lines, 855-752-4842. Always ending on a happy note, Harvey. Donald Trump and Elon Musk, with regards to the Pennsylvania voting, I guess. Bear with me, Harvey. Let's throw this one out there. This has been a topic of conversation for a lot of us in on the show here. Let's hear what Trump had to say about Elon.
And then he journeyed to Pennsylvania, where he spent like a month and a half campaigning for me in Pennsylvania. And he's a popular guy, and he was very effective. And he knows those computers better than anybody, all those computers, those vote-counting computers. And we ended up winning Pennsylvania like in a landslide. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So thank you to Elon.
Whoa, thank you, Elon, what? For stealing Pennsylvania. I mean, now, Harvey, when we talked about Elon Musk giving the Nazi salute today, it was like
twice.
He was so excited. It kind of showed the truth. Do you think there's a little bit of that going on there?
I had not heard that before.
I know, right?
It's from last night. Thank you, Cam, actually, for flagging that and sending it to me.
I knew I'd have to listen to the inaugural address today, so I couldn't imagine doing that last night.
Oh, right. Goodness. Double duty for real.
Oh, wow.
There are concerns, and we have some callers that have brought that up to us. Does that concern you, Harvey, in any way? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I'm sure a guy who believes the 2020 election was stolen from him, okay, and given his own record, would care little if somehow allies of his made every effort to guarantee a number that may not match actuality.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly concerning, Harvey. You know, I mean, we can't be living in that kind of world where anybody.
Well, there is a group. You mentioned the possibility of lawsuits. There is a group apparently that is immediately taking out a suit, demanding that Trump be impeached again.
And for what reason this time?
I don't know.
It doesn't
mean... a whole host of reasons. Maybe you just mentioned one. I don't know.
Well, maybe it's kind of like the pardons that Biden gave. Just in case something went wrong, we're going to give out. Before we get to the callers, I want to get your opinion on the Joe Biden pardons. He pardoned General Milley. He pardoned the J6 committee. He pardoned some of the Capitol Police, apparently, and members of his own family. Just kind of general pardons without really articulating what crime they committed or what the point was. And I'm critical of the move. I mean, I guess I get it. Would I do the same thing to my friends and family? Maybe. But I think it does not bode well for you know, what Trump and future presidents would do. Harvey, what's your sense of the Biden pardons?
You just spoke exactly what's been on my mind, okay? Not something that I relish. I don't think this is something that, I mean, it sets a difficult and challenging precedent. That is, how do we counter such things in the future? They can't be countered. I never liked the idea of a licensed, but uncontrolled presidential pardon system. It's reminiscent of kings of the Middle Ages,
right,
and early modern era. And I thought we were not living in a monarchy. However, the Supreme Court decided that what you do while you're president can, right? I mean, that's what they did. They basically absolved him of any crimes that he might have committed, which is basically a royal kind of position to be in, to be free of those kinds of prosecutions. On the other hand, we know what happens when people get fed up with monarchs in 17th century England, and late 18th century France. So I wouldn't welcome the idea of monarchy if I were a leader. I could tell you that. There is something, but you know, but to go back to your question about the pardons, I have no difficulty understanding why he did it,
right?
Given the madman who's in the White House. That's the best. I mean, that's the only way to put it. Today's speech was truly a sign of the madness that prevails.
Well, we all saw it coming. 855-752-4842. Let's get a couple of callers on. We have our guest, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Cam from Appleton, you are up. You flagged that sound for us. Cam, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. My thoughts are we need to be taking this stuff more seriously, like I've been trying to say for a while now. This, it falls in line with exactly what the data that we were seeing, that the votes don't add up once they get to the tabulators, that there is something that is manipulating the votes between the tabulators and the voting machines. And then anything that gets output of that, because people are able to connect to the tabulators if they have a license, those reports generated are not accurate. They're numbers that are not possible, period. It's not, well, maybe if the stars aligned, it's just not possible. And they end up following the same kind of curves on graphs. If you graph out all the votes for the U.S. for Trump, they follow the same kind of shape as something called a Russian tail, which is the same kind of patterns you see when Putin gets his votes.
Hmm. Thank you for the call, Cam, and thank you for the flag. I guess, you know, Harvey, my concern about that is beyond sounding like the Trumpsters did after 2020, is, you know, at least what they filed like 60 lawsuits and went after all sorts of things to try to prove, quote unquote, that the election was stolen in 2020 for Biden away from Donald Trump. And they lost all those things. And Cam has been one of the folks that have been very on this issue. I've had other callers and friends that have brought this up as well, saying the numbers just don't quite do it. But my concern is, well, if that's the case, where are the lawsuits? Where's the proof? Where's where's the docs? Where are those happening?
Well, where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? Where's the mobilization? This is a sad state of affairs. You know, I can imagine the conversations that have taken place. You know, look, I have had very good friends who are leading conservative intellectuals, one of whom was a national celebrity as such. And I had him out here to speak. It's a whole long story, which is very entertaining, but I can't take up the whole half hour that way. Here's the deal. He came to stay and he stayed at our house, an older man. He's passed away a few years ago. But we were sitting talking and I brought up the 2000 election when the Supreme Court stole the election for Bush.
From
and
Gore,
he said, well,
yep.
He said, well, the mafia stole the 1960 election for Kennedy. Well, you can imagine in the conversations that politicians have, they say, well, it happens in American public life and we're not above it. You know, it's scary, right? It's scary to think that there would be that kind of manipulation. And as I said, normally I wouldn't take it very seriously, but I mean, lately things have happened that I just never thought would happen. And here, let me shift the gears a bit.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know what to say about
it. No, I get it. I mean, yes, go ahead.
Here, this was a line in the speech today. I want to hear your opinion.
Yes.
He said, above all, my message to Americans today is that it is time for us to once again act with courage, vigor, and vitality of history's greatest civilization. So as we liberate our nation, we will lead it to new heights of victory and success. We will not be deterred. Together, we will end the chronic disease epidemic and keep our children safe, healthy, and disease-free. He's about to appoint Robert Kennedy right? I mean, am I off the wall in asking if he's going to make that kind of prediction? He might well want to tell us what he has in mind, since the COVID vaccine was there and he was... You know what I'm saying. I mean, man is literally dangerous when it comes to these guys.
I'm not convinced, Harvey, that Kennedy gets through. I think there's some folks that have legitimate concerns about his capabilities in that role. I think to a similar extent, Tulsi Gabbard as well. I just don't know that these folks will actually get through. Now, unfortunately, historically speaking, only like 3% of a president's cabinet, you know, get rejected. So the odds are against it. But if it was going to happen, I think it would happen to those folks. 855-752-4842. Got a couple holding. CJ, our conservative buddy. Welcome, CJ. But you're happy today. What do you got for us?
Well, happy Martin Luther King Day, Don.
Thank you.
What a beautiful day it is, isn't it? Yes, and Harvey, it's scary you're still teaching kids. Because
I'm not. Just not. Don't worry, I'm not. I'm not. I'm Professor Emeritus. I am not teaching kids.
That's what emeritus means. But go ahead, CJ. What's your criticism of my pal Harvey here?
Well, the mere fact, the way he looks at history, I mean, this is an amazing day. Peace through strength. That's what you're seeing right now. It's almost like Jimmy Carter was in the presidency because hostages released.
Yeah, wasn't that a Biden? Biden did that deal, though, right? Okay, CJ, let me ask you, because I'm going to have to cut you short because we're only got a few
minutes. Let me say something.
Harvey. Go ahead, Harvey.
I think Jimmy Carter was an awful president.
An awful president. Hey, CJ, real quick, we've heard Donald Trump talk about successes and moving forward. How are you going to define success? He ran, and a lot of people voted for him on attacking, you know, the inflation and on the border and so forth. I mean, how do you define success in 30 seconds or less, CJ, for this administration?
Well, he's going to do something that's going to make life affordable, but.
What is that going to be, and how are you going to measure it? What is that going to be, and how are you measuring it?
Even if it goes to zero, Dom, things are 20% higher.
Okay, but he said on his first day he's going to get in there and he's going to make an effort, and this is going to happen. And then he backed off, and now he's saying it again. So I'm asking you, CJ, what's your measure of success? How do you measure that? The price of eggs is $4.99 on pickandsave.com. Is the price of eggs, is that it? Is it the GDP? Is it unemployment? Is it inflation? What's your measure of success, dude?
Well, I think we're going to see peace through strength.
All right, that's not an answer, but thanks for playing. 855-752-4842. Harvey, we got one more caller here. We got Mike from Muscadet. Hey, Mike, I bet you're happy today as well. Welcome. What do you got?
I am elated, my man. He is my man, the Trumpster. Hey, did you do the Trumpster shuffle? I got the dance down.
Nah, I think you and every other old white man has that dance down, Mike. I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked CJ. How are you measuring success in this administration?
I measure success with the Trumpster because, you know what? Peace in strength, like CJ said. And another thing, too, is I really was honored with his speech when he said that he's going to pay back the soldiers, male, female, that were run out of the military because they didn't want to take that clot shot.
The COVID, but that wasn't. I'm sorry, Mike, but and thanks for the call, though. Harvey, we only got a few minutes left in this segment before we talk about something good. This vaccine, the COVID vaccine, was created, and Donald Trump will tell you, it was his creation. They pushed it through. No one would able to get it done. And then some folks had a problem with it. Now he pardons or lets them back in. Your thoughts on that whole issue?
To me, it's a minor question. More, you know, let him do it. I don't care. Honestly, don't care.
It is.
It's just not. It's not consequential.
It is not consequential. I think that's
no. Pardoning all the folks who've been jailed for their participation in January 6th. That to me is more serious than.
And I think we're going to have to make solid efforts here, Harvey, over the next 4 years to sift out what is consequential and what is not. Folks, come back with us. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista.
time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me for the last segment. We're doing this one. Tell us something good. This has all been Justin's idea. We love it when we end on a positive note. And Harvey, I've been told you're going to play along as well. We got a caller who wants to jump in here. Mary from Tulsa, tell us something good. Welcome, Mary. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, Don, for taking my call. So I'm calling in to share my optimism for saving democracy. Along with civic media's advocacy, I want to encourage folks to support The Contrarian on Substack.
Mm.
It's co-hosted by two very knowledgeable and committed folks, Jennifer Rubin, a former columnist from The Washington Post, and Norman Eisen, and he was formerly with CNN. And so they're encouraging us to stand up to the new administration's outrageous actions. Keeping culture in it is really important. In other words, not just dealing with politics, but keep the art in it and the humor and so on. And I would just encourage people to support Substack, The Contrarian. You know, ideally, you know, financially supporting it doesn't cost very much. Wealth of information. Thanks for your advocacy.
No, right on, Mary. Thank you for playing and telling us something good. Go ahead, Harvey.
Mary left out another piece of good news in her own statement.
What's that?
Jennifer Rubin was a conservative.
Yeah.
Yes,
who became a liberal because of Trump. Let's be clear. Okay?
And she left the Washington Post because of Bezos.
Blasted him on her way out.
And, just lit his ass up on the way out, and justifiably so. The way that, Harvey, you know, the way the billionaires run in the media now, too. You know, this whole thing is just, it's just like we're eating ourselves, man. It's unbelievable. All right, Jess, you got something good. Let's hear it.
I do.
All right.
So I teach a Sunday school class every Sunday at my synagogue, and it's always a process. I've got seventh graders, and they are stinky and sullen, and they hate everyone. They hate themselves. They hate me. They hate the world.
So I'm still in seventh grade, basically.
Still in seventh grade. And so part of my journey with them is always getting them to trust me and open up and all of that. Well, this past Sunday, my classroom helper walked up to me and he handed me a Warhead candy. So that's that really, really sour coated jawbreaker candy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I love them. I absolutely love them. I love sour candies in general, and I especially love Warheads. And he's just like, this student wanted me to give this to you because he remembered that you really liked them. But he was too shy to do it himself. And so I just then had just a delightful little sweet, and it was just a beautiful little gift from a child whose trust I've gained over this time, who has shown that he doesn't actually hate everyone and everything in the world. And that was just something really good.
Well, that's awesome.
Yes, and he wanted to show you, Dom, that he believes in peace through strength, so he's giving you a war.
That was for you, CJ. All right, Harvey K., how about you, man? You got something good for us to wrap up this otherwise dreary, weird day?
After my Mondays with Dom and Jess, I have dinner. And I know that tonight my wife has prepared one of my favorite winter dishes. It is chicken in a tomato sauce with some spices and seasoning and mushrooms thrown in. And I will open up a bottle of sparkling rosé, which is made in America, in Michigan. What it's worth.
Oh, okay? Nice.
Over near Traverse City.
Yeah. Sounds fantastic. Getting kind of hungry and thirsty just thinking about that. Mary,
sparkling rosé.
She texted in about tell us something good. Folks, you can tell us something good, 855-752-4842. Freeing Leonard Peltier is a great thing today. Of the pardons and commutations that President Biden has done, I got to say that's probably one of the most worthy ones. Any thoughts on
that?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, his sentence was commuted.
Commuted today, 80 years old. I mean, it's and apparently with some health problems. So a little late, but at least he'll be out and be with his family on the tail end of what is left and remaining of his life. I guess mine, you kind of played it for me already. Jess, I went wormholing last week, and I've been just jamming Badfinger, the band.
Nice.
And I didn't know like how kind of tied in they were with the Beatles, and you know they had that kind of familiar sound. I didn't even know that they were that old of a band, because I think that the song "I Got a Line on You" has been redone. Mm-hmm. Alice Cooper, I think, is probably where I initially heard it when I was growing up.
That makes sense.
And so, like the Hollywood Vampires and those cats. But I went back to the original and just. I've really been enjoying the playlist, Badfinger, and all the other music that comes along
with
it. So,
all right.
Yeah, good stuff.
Music is always something good.
It is.
Always.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll see you next week, of course.
Yeah.
And we'll get to talk about executive orders. How's that for a segment?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
There's a lot of them. Donald Trump signing executive orders as we speak right now. He just said, I'm going to be signing pardons of January 6th rioters tonight.
Did he use that word, rioters?
Well, that's the Chiron. I'm going to be signing a pardon. So, Harvey K., thank you so much for your time and for educating our fair audience. Professor, I know you're emeritus of Professor Emeritus of Democracy. CJ will figure it out. He can learn a few things. Thank you for being around, being with us, and giving us your wisdom and insights. Always, my friend.
Thank you. Sorry about the Lions.
This is supposed to be something good. Thank you. Oh, Lions, hell of a time. We'll do it again next year. Folks, have a wonderful evening. We'll do it again tomorrow. The lineup tomorrow, got a little overtime with Maggie Dawn to start the show. And then John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation magazine going to join me as well. Thank you once again, Harvey. Thank you, Jess P.S., for everything you do and putting up with all that Trump stuff today. Thank you for our fair audience. Have a wonderful night. Stay warm. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our friend Luke Mathers is in with another edition of What's Grinding His Gears, and we'll take a look at what's worse, grocery or clothes shopping. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Supporters of Donald Trump gathering inside the Capital One Arena for the inaugural parade. The events moved indoors due to the cold. Also in attendance, family members of some of the hostages still waiting to be released from Gaza. Giving credit to Trump in the final round of negotiations, they say, with the Biden administration to secure a ceasefire deal. Earlier, after being sworn in, President Trump, in his first speech, vowed to usher in a new golden age.
My message to Americans today is that it is time for us to once again act with courage, vigor, and the vitality of history's greatest civilization.
The president also pledged to reverse the Biden administration's executive orders and vowed to sign off on pardons for the January 6 defendants and those convicted in the attacks on the Capitol. Former President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden departed Washington in a military helicopter and told staffers to stay engaged. This is ABC News.